tip tap tea.
Hey there, welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Shane.
Well, you've been gone a long time.
I have been gone quite a long time.
How many months has it been since you've been on the last show?
Since the last show?
Since you've been on the last show.
Oh, goodness. I'd say three. Because I wasn't on the show when I was in town last, was I?
Did we have a baby? Let me put it that way.
You had... you know...
Maybe it's been that long?
I'm lost for words here. I think, yes, you had the baby.
Okay.
So, it's within the last, 6 months now?
5 months.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Just wasn't sure. Shane's a frequent guest on the show. It's good for him to be back. Rochelle is sitting out this episode, but, you know, because, you know, sometimes babies need to be taken care of.
Babies do need.
But you were lucky, Shane, because you are the only person, the only guest of Tip Tap Tip that Rochelle will allow me to co-host without her. So you're in a very privileged position. Not a lot of people can say this.
I feel extremely privileged that Rochelle would relinquish her seat solely for this character.
Exactly.
And what can I say but thank you, Rochelle.
Yeah, so thank you, Rochelle. She will be back next episode whenever that happens to be out. That's the thing. With the baby long, episodes come out when they come out. We try and keep a schedule, but... You know, we got to keep the baby alive happy. And sometimes that takes precedent over making funny things on the internet.
Podcast 2, baby 1.
Yeah, but I think we keep
it. Number 2, number 1.
I think we keep up a somewhat decent schedule, regardless. Like, can we try and do one ish a week?
If you're keeping scores, baby 1, rest of our life 0.
Exactly. And I'm dying over here.
Yeah.
Now, the last time we did a show, I think about this time last week, I was beginning to feel a bit sick. And I've been fighting this cold, now a cough, all week. And I think that's one of the reasons why last show really worked. In fact, one of our listeners said that please put a star beside Tip Tap Tip episode 328 for future reference as the best ever show. You guys are the best. This is coming from a Scarborough dude, a listener in the Scarborough area, obviously enough.
Nice.
He liked that episode. And I didn't think much of it when I was recording it because I was a bit out of it. I was just getting a cold and I was a bit tired. But Rochelle, I have to say, Rochelle carried that show. And she's the one who
I've yet to hear that one, so
she's the one who made, I think at least, that episode the best one ever, so clap for Rochelle. There we go. But a lot of things have been going on in the news. I guess the most, the biggest news story this week is the U.S. election.
Yes.
Can't miss that one. Rochelle had some things to say about that when we were discussing it last time. Usually we don't talk about politics. But, you know, she had some thoughts about who might win.
Okay, so you're going to talk about this election thing?
Nah, I'm going to skip it because you don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
So who cares?
So they're just going to vote for the black guy again.
Okay, I'm losing my shit at about this point.
Yeah, there it is.
You're totally losing your shit.
Exactly.
Thanks. Rochelle from the past.
Anyways, it turns out they did vote for the black guy. Thankfully enough, because the alternative, I don't know.
I think Romney is still that, what is it, left-wing thinking sort of thing is still... A little too far-fetched for the mainstream, you know?
And I'm gonna ask you, because you seem to have ideas about how the world works, right? Some may call it conspiracy ideas, conspiracy theories. Some may call it the truth.
Yeah.
But what is your take on this past election?
I love it.
You like it?
I think Obama was the right direction.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, the basic strip of any... political system, especially the ones, you know, in our North America kind of thing, is, you know, you get a four-year term and then you get reelected again.
Yeah.
You cannot do anything substantial in 1 4-year term.
Not really, no.
Right? The U.S. politics is slightly different because, you know, they're only allowed 2 terms. Whereas, you know, the Canadian system, as long as you have...
Keep on winning.
You keep on winning, you keep on making policy.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, our Progressive Conservative Party is going to fuck something up so severe that everybody's just going to lose their mind and vote Liberal.
Exactly.
Right? And then we'll have a string of Liberal...
Until
they fuck up, and then maybe one day we'll even have an NDP government. Who knows, right? Yeah. But the basic underlying thing is that people want certain basic things in their lives. They want to be able to work. They want to make money. They want to be able to buy shit. And for all the promises Romney was doing and making, it's like, okay, I can do all of this and give you jobs. However, you know, there's not going to be any abortion. There's not going to be any...
I think that's where he kind of shot himself, you know, in the foot. It's just because...
Stuff like that. There's no choice for women.
Yeah, like the thing... The one thing that the Republicans hopefully they'll wake up to is the fact that the demographics are changing in the states, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you know, the Latino vote voted overwhelmingly for Barack Obama, as well as the Asian vote and the black vote.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if these groups are growing and your white groups are dwindling, you have a shrinking base, and then you're just going to be the perpetual loser, right?
Well, yeah, if you want to look at strictly along a race lines, nobody's going to vote for you being white. Mm-hmm. Especially if your politics and your mind think is so out there that, you know, you're going to lose everybody. You know, we've got binders of women. That was the big one that came up into politics. Because it's like, do you know, you don't have any women on staff. Well, you know, I don't really know many women that would be
able
to
a place and they had binders.
So I went and joined a couple of women's groups and they gave me binders of women who would be potential candidates to help work with our staff. Well, okay. They gave you binders of women because they, what's the word I'm looking for? Network.
Yeah.
With people who are women and who know women are equal contributors to our, you know, business and economic and political lives.
Mm-hmm.
But you, however, what, you've got 6 wives? My PC just went out the window, you damn Utah bastard.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I know a lot of Mormons, they don't have any more than 1 wife, but, you know, that sort of thing.
There's some idea,
there.
So.
Exactly.
Right? I watched Rochelle and I got into this show on TV called Sister Wives. I'm not sure if you ever watched this. It's a show on, I think, TLC, which used to be the Learning Channel, but is now just shitty reality TV shows.
It's a TV channel, yeah.
It's this TV series about this one guy from Utah who has 3 different wives, and then he's throughout the series he's courting a 4th, right, to be...
Right.
Wife number 4, and then, and it's interesting to watch because the one thing that sort of struck me about polygamous families is like the logistical nightmare of making it all work. How do you juggle 3 wives, like, you know, in such a way that it makes them happy and the family's kind of together?
He just had
a big house, a really big house with sort of sections, right, like wings, like wife one and her family was in.
Wing one.
Yeah, but it was connected so that it wasn't...
You know. No, yeah. There was another show like that with Bill Paxton there a couple years back.
Exactly, yeah.
Love, right? Which was kind of... But that one seemed a little more... This scripted, I guess, as opposed to...
Yeah, that was...
reality television.
Yeah, what was that show called?
Big Love.
There we go.
Yeah.
Big Love.
I watched a couple of episodes. It was actually a pretty good show, but again, it was that whole bit about... you know, sort of, it is not mainstream America, right? Like, nobody has multiple wives. It's polygamy. And in any other state in the union, you'd be up for polygamy laws, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
Let's switch gears a bit because we're getting a bit serious, but let's talk about what you've been up to. Now, I remember about maybe a month or so ago, I got some text messages from you. You're really excited to be somewhere. And you're like, oh, Eric, this is the best. And you were at a monster pull.
Oh, yes.
You were a monster
no,
pole.
No, it wasn't a monster pole. Sorry, but yeah, it was a tractor pole.
Tractor pole, pardon
tractor
me.
Tractor pole.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, like we're in dead center Pennsylvania, and I'm driving on the road, going out to the field, and all of a sudden I see this huge sign just on the side of the road with a big arrow on it saying tractor pull today. And I'm like, what?
Well, let's make this happen.
Let's make this happen. So I go down, and yeah, you know what? If I got all the video and pictures on my cell phone, I'll snag it so you can actually
put yeah, email it up. To me, and then I'll put it on the site.
And so it was everything, crazy story. Like when we were growing up home in Newfoundland, this guy, when the U.S. Army closed down the Argentia base, U.S., and maybe it was a naval base, but anyway, they closed it down, no longer viable, sold everything off. Well, a local guy who was this electronics genius went down and bought like 3 big satellite dishes. These things were like, you know, 20 feet across.
Okay.
Just massive. Bought 3 of them, brought them back to Glovertown, my hometown.
Yeah.
Set them up out in the back of his yard.
Yeah.
Dead of winter comes, he ends up putting them on a sled, tows them to the top of this hill. The following summer, then, he erected them, pointed them due south, right, to pick up all these satellites.
Wow.
Started then de-scrambling the signal and feeding our community with pirated.
So he was one of the most popular guys.
He's the best. And then he was charging people for cable, right? And so we were getting all of these shows when I was growing up that nobody else had heard of, like SWAT and Vegas and all these reruns that were from the, you know, from the 60s and 70s. Here where it was like early 80s. And we went from, like, you know, a town that had, like, maybe 3 channels
to, like,
to a town that had, like, 40 in the space of a summer.
And they're all great channels.
And they're all great channels. Well, one of the channels that we got was Network,
okay,
TNN. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were watching that, and all of a sudden it was, like, tractor pull time.
And
it was like, what the hell is this?
And how old were you at the time?
Oh, man, I couldn't have been no more than 11 or 12.
You're just...
And just as a kid who is fascinated
by jaw on the floor, you're just like, this is the best thing awesome. I've ever seen.
But it was all heavy alcohol burner, high nitrous, and fast and moving. So that's what I had in my mind's eye of what this thing was going to be.
Yeah.
And I show up, and it's nothing near it, right? Like it, but what it was just a bunch of... farmers get together and they have all these vintage tractors and full-on working tractors, and they fixed them up, they shine them right up so that you can show park these things.
Yeah.
And people just come around to admire a good piece of equipment, right? Yeah. And then they take them out onto the track, and instead of speed, they're just looking for torque and distance.
Yeah.
So when the thing starts off, they're not allowed to go, depending on weight class and things like that, you're not allowed to go over 9 miles an hour or 6 miles an hour or 3 miles an hour.
Really?
And if you do, an alarm goes off and you got to drop your speed again, and then basically you're just pulling this weight down the track, and eventually the weight would get, you know, it rises up and starts digging into the ground so that you eventually stop.
Oh, so, so seeing how far they can pull this.
So all it is just based on distance. You just see how far you can pull it. And then and I went down and I watched it, and I'm just big grinning. And this old-timer sort of sidles up to the fence next to me, and I start asking him questions. So what's going on here? Oh, you know, this is... this is a weight class for 5,500 pounds, and they're not allowed to go over 3 miles or stuff like that. You know? I'm like, okay.
Okay, buddy.
And then I tell him the story about when I grew up, I saw it on the television. Oh, there's nothing like that. You know, that dish. And then the best quote he gave me, and I wish I had my phone going so I could get the actual dude. He goes, well, you know, sometimes you're cheating. Sometimes you're not. Of course. There's always cheating until you get caught. And I'm like, oh, man, this is so awesome. And if that wasn't the best of it, Next thing you know, they get out this little tiny toy tractor with pedals on the wheels.
Okay.
And they start throwing their kids on it and having them tow this weight down them.
It's kind of like when they, like, if you go to like a a rodeo, sometimes they'll have like the kids on goats.
On the goats or sheep. That's exactly the same
thing. And these kids are wearing that big helmets.
But they were, yeah, so they just put these kids on this little tiny riding tractor. And they would tow them, and the weight would rise up, and they dig in, and you're like, "Go, kid, go!" And his he's scoting out, trying to move that last pedal length worth of distance down the track. Oh man, it was great.
Yeah, so like, it was like a whole afternoon.
Or? It was actually 2 full days.
Wow.
Yeah,
It's that big.
Yeah, it was, and this was just strictly all local. The dude who was, I guess, the president of the local chapter or whatever this thing was. They were constantly moving all over the place to have this event. Finally, he just said, to hell with it. He went and bought a piece of land, built a brand new house.
Yeah.
Had an extra, you know, 5 acres worth of just grassland. He ended up building a full-on track.
Nice.
With, you know, concrete dividers, things like this, and so that they could just get together once a month or so, or twice a month, to do this event. And then he had like a permanent snack venue set up down there, so people could. When I was there that particular day, it was like $7.50 for a barbecue dinner. So you get like a quarter chicken, I think it was a hot dog, and then some potato salad and some chips.
Not bad.
$7.50. Here you go. Mm. And they had them all pre-made out into the styrofoam plates. So all you had to go up was with your $7.50 to give you a plate.
You're good to go.
And you're good to go.
Nice.
And all the money, I don't know where it went. I mean, I'm not a part of it, but it seemed like everything just went into a little bit of prize money for the guys who went for this.
And the rest probably went back into
the rest of it just would go back into maintaining the yard kind of thing. So,
nice.
I think we need one of the more unusual community events, but still, man, very heavy. When I went down, there must have been, I'd say, 200-300 people down there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just milling about and having fun.
Nice. Mm. We need to start a tractor pull.
I was so enthralled with this thing, I think I did text out like, I want to buy a tractor.
Yeah,
so
I want to get a big tractor.
Because it was just one of those quiet little fun things that you
don't think about.
You don't even think about it. Like, you know, could you do it? Well, shit, all I need is a tractor.
One of the things I want to do is I want to participate in a demolition derby.
Oh,
that would be fun.
That would be kind of neat.
That would be a blast. It'd be like bumper cars, but for adults.
But for adults. Is there any derbies here in Calgary?
There must be.
There has to be.
Maybe not in Calgary, but in Alberta, I'm sure.
I'm sure there has to be.
But man, could you get in there, you make sure your car has to be structurally sound, so you're not going to die. Yeah.
Nope.
But then, you know, get in there and just start run until it dies.
Just start getting in there, banging into people.
Oh,
as it sits right now, every time I run down to Deerfoot, I feel like knocking half a dozen people off the road.
Oh yeah, because you have the gigantic truck.
Gigantic truck, and plus everybody drives like idiots.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those idiots too.
Yeah,
that's because I've only been driving about a year or so. So today, I'm sure I am annoying most people because it's in Calgary. It's an unusually snowy day, so that means that people are driving extra slow, including me, and I'm sure people were sitting behind me going, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Mm. Just go. I'm just like, what can you do?
Well, hey, it's that time of year.
I'm still driving in all seasons.
We gotta be patient. Yeah,
but what else was I gonna say? You've been up to another couple things. This was actually a big thing. I saw the pictures from this on Facebook. You went to Graceland.
Yes, that was on the way back. That was just maybe 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Like, so you, the tractor pull was when you're still working.
Tractor pull was what I was still working.
Yeah.
And then when it was time to drive back up through to come to Canada.
Yeah.
There was a couple of stops along the way that I wanted to hit. First one was Graceland. It was straight north shot from Jackson, Mississippi up to Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And the signs on the side of the road, like as soon as you hit Memphis, it's like, hey, 5 miles of Graceland. And I just just started rubbing my hands, going, "Oh my God, this is going to happen." And Graceland, next right.
You're like, yeah.
Take the first left. No way. And then you go down Elvis Presley Boulevard, and boom, there it is.
So, I saw the pictures, and it doesn't look as big as I would imagine.
No, and that was sort of the one thing I noticed myself. Like, it's a modest home. Like, I mean, it is bigger than most.
Yeah.
Because it was, when he bought it when he was 22, and he paid, I think it was $110,000.
At the time, which,
at the time, know, which decent, was a significant chunk of change. Yeah. And that was, I think that was 58 when he was 22, something like that. It was.
Oh, he bought it that 50s. Early.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was for the house plus 14 and a half acres worth of land. So a sizable piece of property. And the house, though, itself, when it's a, what do you call that, a colonial or a plantation-style
sure.
home, you know, with the big pillars out front.
Yeah.
And you walk in, and you're allowed to see the main level plus the basement. The upstairs level is still considered private because...
Do people still live there?
No, but Priscilla and Lisa Marie both stopped by maybe... 2-3 times out of the year just to make sure that the place is being properly maintained, things yeah. like that. And, well, I mean, they lived in it for quite a long time.
Yeah.
It is their home. But I guess when Elvis, some of the stories you would hear, they had these headphones that you would put on.
And oh,
would,
so like a tour?
And it was just an automatic tour. So you would just push play and the thing would tell you where to go and what to do. And it would tell you all these stories as you were going, which was, man, it was an amazing thing, amazing little tour. But one of the things that they kept talking about was that Elvis always had his doors open. So mm-hmm. if people wanted to stop by and say hello and whatever, hey, come on in.
Yeah.
And the main level and the basement were for guests. And if you wanted to stay, there were spare bedrooms, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But however, whenever you would come to visit, mm-hmm. the upstairs was off limits.
Yeah.
So this is our private area, mm-hmm. but if you guys want to come and stay with us, well, we got two other levels, more than enough room, just don't go upstairs.
Yeah.
And so out of respect, the tour guides would tell you that, you know, you're allowed to see the main floor in a basement, but we keep the upstairs private.
Just that's the way it was.
Just out of respect for the family, because mm-hmm. that's the way it was back then.
So what were some of the weirder things that you saw in Graceland?
Oh, man, it was stuck in the 70s.
Yeah.
So all of the decor itself was just a little weird. But
man, yeah, like saw so like the small TV, the...
Yeah, man. Like, well, I'm stuck in the 70s myself, so when it comes to this, I was loving every minute of it. I'm like, oh, man, this is so great.
Where are some of the...
I'm getting so many ideas to decorate my house.
Nice. Like, what are you thinking?
Oh, man, like grotto levels.
A grotto.
In indoor waterfalls and stuff like this. It's just fantastic. One of the rooms was called the jungle room. And this was an addition that they'd built onto the house.
Yeah.
So that they could extend the kitchen, and then the kitchen then would extend into this jungle room.
Yeah.
And they call it the jungle room because of the decor. It actually had like an indoor waterfall. Plus, then every last piece of furniture was just heavy wood carved furniture with, and there was a little bit of an African motif in there. Yeah. And he was big on monkeys, man. Like, there was monkeys everywhere, like these porcelain monkeys and stuff like this. And the TCB logo, that was his.
Oh, TCB?
Taking Care of Business.
Oh, okay, of course.
Looked like it was something some kid would draw, right? Like, today if I took a TCB to somebody and said, I need a TCB with a lightning bolt through it, they would come with this thing that would look just retarded, right?
Yeah.
Elvis's looked like, you know, somebody drew it on a piece
scrawled
of paper.
Scrawled it on.
Scrawled it, and they said, that's good to go.
TCB, baby. Thank you very much. Taking care of business.
Taking care of business.
Nice.
And that was just stamped all over everything. And these heavy yellows and oranges.
That kind of color scheme.
Yeah, the color scheme from the 70s. But, it was great. So then you would get outside. And so, yeah, so the house itself wasn't, you know, as big as you would think. Like, Elvis was this superstar. He was the fucking king.
King of rock.
King of rock and roll.
Yeah.
But for a guy who had like all that money, the house he lived in was pretty modest for somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had two jet planes.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, he was worth a ton of money. It didn't. I don't know. They didn't go to his head, maybe, for like personal wise. All he needed was a place to rest his head, and he did. It was a fantastic little place.
He'd eat his peanut butter and bacon sandwiches.
Well, banana. Oh, speaking of which,
okay,
there is a burger joint here in Calgary.
Yeah,
that I can't remember the name of right now, but I got to try and track it down. They have a menu, and on the menu there's two milkshakes. One's called the Elvis.
Yeah.
And it's peanut butter banana mixed with ice cream. Here's your
nice
Elvis milkshake. The second one is the Fat Elvis.
Okay.
And it's peanut butter, banana, and bacon. And dude, we have to go.
I'd have a sip of it.
We gotta have a sip. Come on, yeah. I think it's going to be so delicious because bacon is good with everything.
I don't know. I was thinking about that a while back. There seems to be, like, within the last year or so, a big sort of kick on bacon. You're finding, like, bacon, and it seems more like a novelty that they're putting bacon in everything. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I like bacon.
Mm.
But, like, where I used to work, there was this coffee shop, and one of they'd have, like, these special lattes, right? And no, I'm not a coffee drinker, but they'd had this one called, it was like a bacon maple latte.
So it was a coffee with bacon in it?
Bacon flavor, if any.
Oh, wow, well, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
You can take great ideas too far, man, mm-hmm. right, you know?
Yeah. There's Bacon-A's, which I haven't had a chance to have. But
which is what?
Bacon-flavored mayonnaise.
Oh, give me a break.
I've seen it at London Drugs. It's there. I saw it. I didn't pick it up.
Oh,
but it does exist.
You know what? Then you're right, because when I was down in Pennsylvania, I came across bacon jerky.
Okay, that would be good.
And I don't know.
Bacon is already, like, pretty jerky.
Tastes good. Bacon tastes great. Bacon jerky. Oh man, it was like the jerky flavor didn't take to the bacon.
Yeah.
And it was thick cut, and it was in this bag, like, you know, like regular jerky would be. And then when you ate it, though, it was very much like just old, cold, fatty bacon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried eating it, and it was just, nah, man, like, the flavor is just not here for me to go overboard on this stuff, though.
Yeah.
Fail on that one, boys. Nice try, but what are you going to do?
All right. I'll say this before we continue here. If you have any topic ideas, any questions, stories, anything you'd like to share, send it to info@tiptaptip.com. That's our email address. You send stuff there, and that's great. Now, before the show, you were writing down some ideas of things that you were wanting to
talk about. Well, the one thing I wanted to talk about is, like, over the last couple of days, because I knew I was coming on the show.
Yeah.
A few friends were like, what the hell are you talking about? You're going on a radio show. And I'm like, well, I have friends who do a podcast, and I am one of their more
frequent guests.
And I say, it's just a blast. We get on and we talk about current topics, blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, what's it like? And then for the first time,
yeah,
I think ever, I had to try and equate what a Tip Tap Tip show is like.
Like a podcast in general? Or
no, just, for example, like if you were to say, hey, have you seen the show
blah, blah, blah.
London, what?
Or blah, blah, blah. Or whatever.
Yeah, so have you ever seen this show? I'm like, no, I haven't. What's it like? Well, it's a cross between, you know, Seinfeld and Airwolf or something like that for two.
I wish that was a show.
I wish that was a show.
Seinwolf.
Seinwolf. Yeah.
No, that's Knight Rider. There we go.
But yeah, so. But that's how you do it. So, like, it's when somebody asks you, what's this show like, you sort of give it a general, like, this is what I think it's like. So, for the first time, in either a long time or whatever,
I had to sit down
and analyze what is a Tip Tap Tip
show. So you're coming up with our elevator pitch?
Yeah. Nice. And what I came up with because I've been listening to you guys quite a bit, and now that I've got a Sirius Radio, I've been listening to Howard Stern quite a lot. And my analysis is that you guys are like quite a bit like the Howard Stern show without the crassness.
Without the crassness?
Yeah.
Oh, we got some work to do.
No, I don't mean it like that, but yeah. You know, he's more along your sexual side, right? Yeah. You know, every time he talks about, like, how big's your dick, or if anybody's listening to Howard Stern, he's always asking people how big their dick is or who they've slept with and things like that. But the general give and take, though, between him and Robin and Gary and a few others that are on a show,
yeah,
I find that you guys, when you and Rochelle sit down and talk, there's that give and take, and all of a sudden you are cracking each other up.
Yeah.
And no matter who you are, when you're in a conversation with other people and somebody starts laughing, that laughter is so infectious that you just can't help but laugh yourself. And it's always one of those fun groups to be with, because you know whenever I come over to hang out with you or get on this show, we're gonna be laughing and carrying on, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah,
there's never ever a moment or a tip-tap episode where you sit down and you're like, "Buh, this is driving me batty," right? You know, there's always something to look forward to. And so when somebody said to me the other day, like, well, what's it like? I said, well, it's like, it's very much like Howard Stern, but without the crassness.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's get into some news, shall we? I have a number of news topics of which were sent in, some I found myself. Good figure. Let's start things off here, and we'll get your opinion on a couple of these stories here. This is a big thing, especially for Canadian. This is a very, very big news, and I'm not sure if you heard about this, but this caught me off guard. I was both surprised and quite happy when I heard this.
Oh.
Shoppers Drug Mart announced in a message on its Facebook page that it was suspending the playing of Christmas music in its stores until further notice. That's true.
Wow.
That came after a barrage of complaints from customers who said the chain had begun playing the tunes entirely too soon. And I agree with this. I completely agree with this, because it seems like as soon as Halloween is done, Christmas tunes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind. Like, okay, I can get annoyed by Christmas tunes, but, you know, especially if they're playing them for like 2 months out of the year. Like, just give it a break. Play December, all right?
Yeah.
Shoppers had begun playing the music on November 1st, one day after Halloween. Spokeswoman Tammy Smitham said that a number of unhappy customers contacted them through Facebook and customer service to complain the music had begun too early. On a Friday evening of last week, the company posted this note on their Facebook page. "Hi, everyone. Due to recent complaints around the Christmas music being played in the stores, we want to advise you that at midnight tonight, all Christmas music will be suspended until further notice. We do take customer feedback to heart, and it does lead to change. Thank you for your patience around this, and have a fabulous Friday."
Yeah, you know what? It's good, because you're right. Like, the commercialism has been talked about for years. You go from one shopping season right into the next.
Well, it seems like, okay, it goes like this. It's back to school begins in, like, July or June,
they'll
have all their back to school promotions, and that immediately leads into Halloween starting in like September.
Yeah,
like, you know, which is great if you're like me and you like Halloween candy and buying a ton of that, little mini chocolate bars, fun size, good times. But and then immediately after Halloween is Christmas, and then
Christmas.
Then it's Valentine's Day.
Well, yeah, or then you get into the New Year's, and it's like, you know, people start promoting New Year's events and New Year's, and then you get into Valentine's Day, and then you come up to Easter, and then whatever is out there that you could possibly push on a consumer, but and then you say, there is no break.
No, what are your thoughts on Christmas songs generally?
Christmas songs are great. You know, like, for just in general, hey, who doesn't like a Christmas song? If you don't, you're the fucking Grinch, right? You're going to come and steal my presents in the middle of the night. but for straight after, like, I mean, we've always complained about it, but never, ever put any direction into it. finally somebody said, hey, you know, maybe it is just a little early because the 1st of November, that's full on 55 days until we get to Christmas.
55 days of...
If they start at the 1st of December, fine. Yeah, it's December, we're in the Christmas month, go.
Yeah, okay. So we know you like Christmas songs, but is there one Christmas song that annoys you more of all the Christmas songs?
Oh, annoys the hell out of me?
Yeah, I know what mine is, but I want to hear what yours is. Oh. All right, let me get...
I would have to say Jingle Bells.
Just any rendition in particular? Or?
No, just straight up Jingle Bells, because it's one of those... Like Happy Birthday. There's no musical contribution to it. All it is ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. Like, I mean, I'm sure some monkey somewhere just jumped on her and started beating on a piano. Somebody said,
"We can sell this.
We can put that. We can put words to that."
My least favorite Christmas song, and it's not like actually my least favorite rendition of a Christmas song is. Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
What? I don't think I've ever heard it.
You better not cry. You better not cry. Better not cry. Santa Claus coming to town. Oh, yeah. So bad. And the worst thing is, I like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
But man, that drives me up the fucking wall every time I hear it.
Oh. You know what? I don't think I've ever heard that. I've only ever heard that rendition.
Well,
I'm glad I haven't.
I'll have to play it for you after the show.
I'm sure if I did hear it, it would drive me batty.
Oh, man, it's the worst. It's the fucking worst.
But do you hear it often enough, though, that it drives you batty? Or is it just the fact that...
Anytime I hear it, I don't... It's not like I hear it a lot.
No, that's sort of the thing I'm getting at. It's like, yeah, you know what? Bruce, really? Did you need to...
It's like, I get it. You know, because it was off of a live recording, right? So it was around Christmas time, and he's...
Okay.
And he was, you know, he's playing a concert, so he's like, oh, let's please the audience, let's play this fucking song. Yeah. They recorded it, and next thing you know, I'm hearing it in fucking Shoppers Drug Mart, okay. And I'm just like, fuck you, Bruce. Yeah. Why'd you have to do this?
Yeah, see, for me, that might not be as bad as, like, wherever you go, just that musical tripe.
Yeah.
Of Jingle Bells just drives me
ding, 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 ding.
Everything else has some sort of... you know, chestnuts roasting.
That one I can get on board with. That one's classy.
You know? And yeah, like old Bing Crosby and Mel Torme.
Ding, 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 ding.
But there
ding.
Hasn't been any new Christmas tunes.
Well, the most recent...
I'd almost say in good 15 years.
The one I like... I don't know. Well, it's...
20, maybe?
The one I like from the 80s is Last Christmas from Wham!
I don't even think I know that one.
Last Christmas, dun, 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 very next day. Dun, 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 you know, all these Christmas tunes.
All these Christmas tunes I'm completely out of touch with, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to play.
But even then, if you're talking Wham, what, 85 that thing came out?
For 84, 83 maybe.
So what's that?
Like 30 years
ago?
Okay.
So, I mean, like, anything that's Christmas songs... has been overplayed because nobody's putting out any new stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to take some phenomenal... You know what? There you go. There's a $1 million idea. You find some phenomenal million-dollar song.
If you write a Christmas tune and it catches...
Oh, you're...
And you license it...
You're a billionaire.
Retire.
Yeah.
You're done.
Done.
Yeah, because it's like... if you write like a modern Christmas song and it catches on and it becomes like a standard...
Yeah, for here, I'm going to play this in my store. Well, every time you play it, you owe me $1.
Yeah.
You know, times, you know, 15,000 stores, times 8 times a day, times, you know.
Like that asshole who wrote Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. We think he's a piece of shit, but he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm a rich piece of shit.
You can think I'm the piece of shit, and I'll still be on my yacht, jackass. You know, I'll be spending Christmas in fucking the Caribbean.
You can think what you want.
So I wrote this fucking stupid song. The asshole who came up with Jingle Cats.
What the hell is Jingle
Cats? You've never heard of Jingle Cats? Oh my goodness, I wish I would have had all this ready for
you. Christmas episode.
Oh, man.
Jingle Cats. Oh, what the heck? Give me the premise on Jingle Cats. What the hell is going on?
Basically, it's like instrumental versions of like Christmas songs, but then they have that's well sung. I put this in quotes by cats, so it's like meow 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 meow.
So this is catching on for sure.
Well, this is a thing. This is a phenomenon. And that guy who came up with it and says, "You know what?
You listen here, radio audience. You're idiots.
Because you know what would make Christmas songs better? They were sung by cats.
Yeah, that was like that's like McGriff." It's like McGriff the dog on Simpsons when he starts talking about crime and the word would pop up on the screen.
Yeah. Roar, 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 roar.
And it's like, stop, take a bite out of crime. And it's just rough, rough, rough. Jingle Cats. Break. You know, I'm gonna invent one called Heart Dogs. And then they'll sing love songs, but it's
oh my goodness. I'll see if I can I don't think I'll be able to cue it up, but
because
I do want to play Jingle Cats, but let's see what we got here.
If you get Jingle Cats on your hard drive, I'm gonna walk out.
Well, I have all five albums. All the Jingle Cats.
We're friends off.
We're done.
Yeah, drop the mic.
Yeah. Let's see if we can canky up some Jingle Cats, shall we? Jingle Cats. Because you have to see this, and it's not very often that I do like a sort of impromptu Jingle
Google machine cats. Search here.
Because this is too good for me to not...
Is there video, too?
Oh, that's stuff? The best fucking part.
Oh, man.
Let me just jingle cats, cats the jingle. Gene's gonna lose his shit. I
was born in Mexico.
Shut up, YouTube! I want to watch the video.
Oh, I thought that was an ad. That would have been hilarious if that was part of the jingle cats.
All right, here we go.
You know, when I was growing up in Mexico.
Have your mind blown? Here we go. I'd rather listen to this than that Bruce Springsteen song. This is just sort of an aside, but if somebody can take the Tip Tap Tip theme song and make a cat sing it, that would please me to no end.
Tip Tap Tip cats, you know for sure. Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Sorry, I had to do this. My goodness. This is just the audio of it, but it says.
That's all we need.
This fucking song. Santa Claus is coming to town.
You better watch out, you better not cry. You better not pout, I'll tell you why. He's going on a list, he's taking it twice. He's going on my head, he's knowing your lies. Oh,
get the idea.
I get the gist. Yes,
BG party is over. We'll get back to
E Street party has ended.
Yeah. So anyways, back to our regular show of not playing YouTube videos with cats.
Meow. 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 Meow.
Yeah. A Chinese man divorced his wife and then sued her in court and won.
Continue.
Oh, you know this.
I heard this on the news.
Right, he sued her in court for being ugly.
Sued. I heard this on the Howard Stern news.
Apparently, we're being scooped by Howard
Stern. But yes, he sued his wife for giving birth to an ugly baby.
That's exactly it. Northern China resident Yang Feng reportedly loved his wife, but after the couple gave birth to a baby girl whom he considered ugly to the point of being horrifying and who apparently did not resemble either parent, he demanded to know who the real father was. It turns out that he was the real father, but he says that his wife, who was not named in the report, didn't tell him. Didn't tell him that before they had ever met, she had undergone over $100,000 in plastic surgery.
The wife had?
The wife had.
Oh, I thought the kid had gone over it.
No, no.
Okay, good enough.
Completely changing the way that she looked. He then filed for divorce and sued his wife in court, claiming that she'd got him to marry her. She got him to marry her under false pretenses due to her appearance. A judge agreed and awarded him $120,000 in damages.
That's
pretty harsh. How would you feel? Like, you know,
if my wife popped out an ugly kid?
No.
I would feel bad.
Well, first of all, it's hard to find an ugly baby.
Spoken like a true parent, folks. No.
Okay, no, there are exceptions because, like, and I was one of the exceptions because when I was born, I was not the best looking kid. I don't know if you've seen my baby pictures, but man, I had a rough start. Now, granted, I turned out okay. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Turned out half decent, but man. It was pretty rough.
Those first couple of months, hey.
Well, it was damn near 12 pounds.
Oh, yeah, well, hey, first off, yeah, let's be realistic.
You couldn't even fit me in newborn clothes.
No.
Just bumped me up to had to bum
Struck
me up.
The toddler.
Yeah, exactly.
So. That's hilarious.
So this man divorced his wife and stuff.
Yeah, but okay, I don't know the full story there, but did he divorce her like right after the kid was born, or is the kid now like 5 and 10 years old?
No, I think, well, there was a period of time because he had a paternity test, found out that he was the real father.
Okay.
And then the wife revealed that, and she, in fact, had tons of surgery, didn't look the way that she did, and that's why the kid kind of turned out a bit rough.
Yeesh.
So, I don't know. It's kind of a... That's kind of a dick move. Like
it is. It's a full-on dick move. I don't... Like, hey, look, you know what you're getting into. Like, you know, this is the way I look now.
Yeah.
You know...
Plus, he's a kid.
Well, I mean, just to marry somebody, say. Like, I mean, you can't marry me based on what I'm going to look in 10 years.
Yeah.
Or what I looked like when I was 13, right? Yeah. You know, all pimply and whatever else is going on there. Mm-hmm. You're going to marry me because, wait, one, you like the way I look, and two, you like who I am.
Exactly.
If I pump out a kid and a kid comes out, man, what's this world coming to?
Yeah, what is this world coming to indeed?
We're going to hell in a handbasket.
Yep. Better not cry.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Okay, now Bruce Springsteen.
Meow, 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 meow.
Could cover Jingle Cats. I'd be on board with that.
That would be hilarious.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
I would get on board.
Meow, meow.
That's how you make... Hey, sometimes two wrongs do make a right.
Exactly. Chocolate and peanut butter. Or in this case, shit and drink make, I don't know. I'm running out of an analogy here, but
you need a good shit analogy.
A woman caught on camera driving on a sidewalk toward a Cleveland school bus that was unloading children will have to stand at an intersection wearing a sign warning about idiots. So this woman, there's a school bus parked over the side. Kids were unloading. Woman got impatient. She drove around on the right-hand side on the sidewalk around. And then just came out on the back onto the road just because she was tired of waiting for.
But don't the kids get loaded on the right hand side on the sidewalk?
I don't know, but I do.
Do you have a clip for this?
Yeah, there's no audio, but it will kind of illustrate what's going on here. So let me see if I can bring it up here. Bring it up. You can kind of see what's going on when it comes up here.
Like, is this video from the bus?
It's like surveillance footage, right?
So, no way.
So you can see here, this is, I guess, coming from the bus. So you see that's the car you should be watching, that SUV type thing. So here she comes. She sees the bus. She's like, I'm not having that. I'll just be on the bus, drive on the sidewalk, and back around. Okay, kids, the bus was on the other side of the street. And then the cops promptly catch her right afterwards, so.
So she drove around two or three times? Like, what?
No, like, the bus was on the opposite side of the street, and then...
Well, but this is her coming here again, is it not?
Maybe like, it's repeating the clip, I don't know. Yeah, it's just the same part of the clip at this time with the audio. I don't know why they did that, but...
This looks like a different... Oh, no, yeah, there she is behind them again. So this is the second time.
No,
so
I think it's just repeating. Maybe it's just different.
No, because the first time it's just her car alone. This time she passed another car.
Wow. Maybe she's a repeat offender. Oh, but there's the cops. And cops are not having it. Oh, yeah, I guess maybe that's right. She did it twice, and then the second time the cops were kind of...
notified about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Why that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you go up on the curb?
You're on the opposite side of the road.
And you're on the opposite side of the road. Like, I mean, was she just dumb or what? Apparently you are an idiot. You need to wear a sign to tell everybody such.
Cleveland Municipal Court judge ordered 32-year-old Sheena Hardin to stand at an intersection for 2 days next week. She'll have to wear a sign saying, only an idiot drives on the sidewalk to avoid a school bus. Which is true.
Good work, Judge.
Her license was suspended for 30 days, and she was ordered to pay $250 in court costs. So that's that.
That's that.
I know, it was really stupid, because you could have just...
Waited.
Oh.
You know, I was driving with a couple of guys down in the States, and it's like, we're coming up to a school zone or a playground zone, and it's like, okay, well, and they asked me, why are you slowing down? Like, it's already... 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Playground only runs till 5.
Okay.
And I said, look, it's a playground.
Yeah.
Now, whether the law says that I'm only good till sunset or an hour past or a half an hour past sunset, if I ran over a kid,
yeah,
that'd be it.
Yeah, I'd be haunted by that for the rest of your life.
How am I supposed to live with that?
Yeah, exactly.
So for the, 15 or 20 kilometers an hour or 15 or 20
for like 30
miles
seconds.
An hour for half a mile or 2 miles to just make sure that I'm down and I'm watching for these kids in a school zone.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Nothing, what can you do, right? But, hey.
All right. It's coming up in an hour. Let's wrap this show up.
Okay.
Sounds good?
Yeah, sounds fine.
Okay. Anyways, thanks for listening to Tip Tap Tip. If you like the show, you can do us a big favor. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell the school kids that you don't run over, and tell them to listen to the show. Tell them to go to tiptaptip.com, check us out. We're also on iTunes, which is a thing, and you go there, you type in Tip Tap Tip, there we are, like magic. You click on the subscribe button, there you go. Good times. If you like the show, check us out on Facebook. There we post videos that we talk about. I might be posting some Jingle Cats videos or some fucking Bruce Springsteen.
Some tractor pulls.
Yes, maybe some tractor pulls. Yeah, you got to send me that.
Yeah, I will.
And check us out there. We like email. Again, our email address is info@tiptaptip.com, so you can send us stuff. Like getting stuff in the mail, whether it's stories to talk about, whether it's letters that tell us how much we suck, whether, and this would be a big bonus, and I'm really asking for this, so you better fucking come through on this, audience, right? Our theme, as sung by cats.
As sung by cats, yes. You should do some sort of a contest here. Come up with something.
Whoever does this,
gets a
t-shirt. I don't know how you do it. Whether how many lives of cats it's going to involve.
Yeah.
I don't need to know the details. I just need an MP3 to arrive in my email box called
Tip Tap Tip Cats.
And we're good. Anyways, thank you for listening. My name is Eric.
My name is Shane.
Well, I'll talk to you later with Rochelle.